You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The Yankee Air Museum is on a mission, looking for any of the crew who fought World War II in the Pacific, serving aboard a B-24 heavy bomber that wore its Michigan pride right there on its nose. Ray Hunter is chairman of the Yankee Air Museum. So here you are, Ray. You're on the hunt for the crew of this particular B-24. Tell us about this warplane.
This B-24 served in the Pacific, as you said, and its nose art is Michigan Stadium. And we're trying to find anybody who flew on this airplane or worked on it or trained in it. And we've had the photo for probably 20 years, and we've tried before. But this being the 75th anniversary of World War II coming up next year, we decided to give it one last try.
And this Liberator bomber called Michigan, and you talk about this tradition of nose art. So describe for us what the nose art was on Michigan's nose.
Well, the nose art, it was a representation of Michigan Stadium. It looked like it had been, there was a cheerleader in the front and the stadium in the back with all the flags. And then there was one Michigan flag. And unfortunately, we don't have a color photo, but we can assume that it was maize and blue. And at least somebody on the crew had an affiliation with the university in general or the football program in particular.
Yes, fascinating. And I think we're all pretty familiar, even just casually. For example, anybody who maybe saw the movie Memphis Belle saw that nose art, and that was the name. Tell us a little more about that tradition of military nose art.
Well, nose art was—I don't know where it originated. Most likely World War I. But every plane nearly in World War II had some depiction on its nose. And the B-24 was particularly popular because it had a wide expanse. It was a huge palette for somebody who really knew what they were doing. The nose artist in this case was an Armenian gentleman. His name was Sarkis Bartigian. And he painted probably no less than 20 B-24s in the Pacific. And his nose art is widely known all over the world, and it's published widely on the web. It's really remarkable.
And when we think of what the designs were and how the planes were named, what do we know about who tended to decide? Was it the captain, or how did they decide we want to put this pinup girl or this?
Most likely it was the captain.
Okay.
Usually the crew would choose, though, but I would say the captain had a large influence on what went on the nose of his particular airplane.
And what were some of the popular themes between the Pacific and the European theater? There were a lot of bombers with a lot of nose art.
Mostly it was girls, and girls, hometown girls, girlfriends, wives. In some cases it was towns, such as the Memphis Belle. There were other towns such as the Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and very much some thinking of ones that I've seen looking through photos, beautiful pinup girls. And in fact, this particular young lady, based on the photo I saw, she's wearing a tight T-shirt and she's very cute and she's got a little Garrison cap.
Yep, yeah. Very, very nice.
I went to the USAAF Nose Art Research Project and I found the Michigan was with the 43rd Bomb Group, 64th Bomb Squadron, and the 43rd spent its war in the South Pacific. And the B-24 was really made for those long-distance flights in the Pacific theater, different than the B-17s in Europe?
Well, the B-24 was developed after the B-17, and it could go faster and higher and carry a few more thousand pounds of bombs. According to the pilots, it was harder to fly than the B-17, and it was not as reliable, according to the rivalry that took place between the B-17 pilots and the B-24 pilots, and it was a friendly rivalry.
A friendly rivalry, indeed. Now, do we know how many missions the Michigan flew? Is there any
record? We have no idea. All that we know is that the 43rd Bomb Group has a website. We've been there. There's two photos there. They're both pretty much the same. But we don't know who flew on it, and we don't know how many missions it accomplished.
And how did you even become aware of this?
Well, somebody in our museum, somebody in our library years ago found a photo and gave it to us, and we thought, well, we got to do something with this. So every year, we present a framed copy of this photo to an outstanding student in the Air Force ROTC program at the University of Michigan. And we've been doing that for probably 20 years. We call it the Liberator Award because the B-24 was known as the Liberator Bomber.
And I know you commanded the Air Force ROTC program at the University of Michigan after your service in the Air Force.
I did. That was 30 years ago.
Yeah, you did. What does it mean to you personally to find, to meet this mission of finding someone with a connection to this liberator named Michigan?
Like most people at the museum, this is a labor of love for me. I don't get any pay for this, and I've been a member of the museum since 1986, and I do it because I like to do it, and as my payback, they let me fly the B-17.
The Yankee Lady.
The Yankee Lady.
I had the pleasure of being on her in 2006, and it was one of my top life's experiences.
Last year, we flew probably over 1,300 people during the course of our flying season from May through October, and I would guess that there were probably 20 World War II veterans, and most of them were in their 90s. And we get a wide variety of responses from the veterans when we fly them. Some of them cry. Some of them start talking to their families and tell stories that the families have never heard before.
And it's worth noting it's a fundraiser for the museum.
It is.
Who want to experience what it's like can help the museum and do that.
For sure.
Right. And interesting, Michigan and most of these B-24s and B-17s didn't make it much past the end of World War II. Why is that?
There was really no commercial need for the B-24 bomber. There were over 18,000 produced, more than any airplane in World War II.
Most of them at Willow Run, right?
A great percentage. Over 8,000 were built at Willow Run. The Michigan was not built at Willow Run. Of the Willow Run bombers, there are only four left. Two are in England, one is in Canada, and there's another one in Louisiana.
What did the government do with all
those? They flew them to Arizona, and there was a special processing plant set up. They were chopped up and melted down.
How does that make you feel?
Oh, it's I don't know what we would have done with them, but it's sad to know that they were all destroyed. On the other hand, many photos were taken of the nose art there at the smelter in Arizona.
Have you, in all the years that you've been looking and putting this out here, any nibbles at all? Anything promising?
Not yet. I've got a couple of phone calls that I'm waiting to hear back from, but for the most part, we haven't found anything.
Well, if anyone has leads on someone who was a crew member or worked on this B-24 named Michigan, this Liberator bomber, which was serving in the Pacific with the 43rd Bomb Group, 64th Bomb Squadron, the Yankee Air Museum sure would like to hear from you with that big 75th. What are you planning for the 75th?
We're actually going to fly our B-17 to Washington, D.C., and take part in a 75th anniversary flyover, along with around 30 other World War II airplanes.
And when will that be?
That'll be in May of 2020.
And you fly it. What do you think when you're flying over the fields of Wayne County and you're flying that Yankee Lady?
Well, first of all, I feel like how lucky I am to be doing this. I tell my passengers that you're flying on a 70-year-old airplane with an 80-year-old pilot. So,
well, again, yankeeairmuseum.org. You can get information on flying on that B-17, the Yankee Lady that is at the museum. But particularly if anybody has any leads on who might have served aboard the Michigan, the Liberator Bomber, the B-24 in the Pacific, yankeeairmuseum.org. Ray Hunter, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you so much. This may be our last chance, so please help us.